to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. While living in such a corrupt world, it might be hard to know what godly relationships look like when we have found the one. Join Pastor Nate in the Book of Ruth as we learn more about our relationships in a series called Summer Love.
And as we journey through this book, we're going to see how this good decision leads her to good situations. The worst thing that you can do is rush the process and end up with the wrong person. Giving something away to the wrong person that doesn't belong to them. Committing yourself to a person that you're not supposed to be committed to. The problem with following in love, though, is that it takes time and it's often difficult. Falling in love is easy. It's just walking down the street, that person looked cute, slid into their DMs, and then that's our story. So I was on my explore page, and they look cute, and I hit them up on the DM, and now we're happily ever after. That's what your generation is going to tell your grandkids. Anyways, we get impatient, right? We get impatient. We want what we want right now. But the things that are worth waiting for are the things worth having. But the enemy doesn't want you to end up with the right person. And so he will do things to keep you from the right person. Because the right person will enhance your calling. The right person will enhance your influence on the world. The wrong person will cripple you and keep you from the things of God. And so the enemy knows if he can distract you with the wrong person, he will keep you from being the person God wants you to be. But if we choose to follow Jesus, regardless of our situation, we will end up where God wants us to be. So with our time left, I want to give you three things to watch out for as you follow in love, that the enemy will attempt to use to discourage you from following God. Three things that could look difficult, that would keep us from living and doing the things God's way, but are actually the best way to end and navigate these relationships. First thing we got to watch out for and got to know is that it won't always be easy. It will not always be easy to fall in love. Or follow in love. Ruth has already gone through some seriously difficult things in her life. We just met her. And already, she lost her father-in-law, she lost her brother-in-law, and she lost her husband. Just like that. The story, I mean, you can look back at it if you want. It says in verse 4, it says, "Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there. Then both Mahlon and Chilion, those are the sons, also died. So the woman survived her two husbands and her two sons, her daughters-in-law." Just like that. Boom, boom, they're dead. Like that was a fast, abrupt, crazy situation. Could you imagine? Like every person, this is your family now, and now all of them are gone. Their culture was tight-knit, and when your husband died, it was responsibility of the brother-in-law or someone on the husband's side to take care of the widow. And just like that, she lost it all, really destined to be a widow forever. Because she lost everybody, it was destined. This was her life now. She was a widow forever. Listen, when we choose to follow God and put him first in our life, we will go through difficulty. There will be opposition from a very real devil that hates you. And so he will use whatever he can to discourage you. Maybe you had a relationship where you were doing things right, and that relationship ended. Now you're not sure if you want to keep doing things the right way because it was hard and it didn't work out. Pleasing God isn't always easy. It won't always go the way you think it should go. But if you choose to follow God anyways, he will work it out for the better. But sometimes as we choose to follow God and as we choose to do things right, it's not going to be easy. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through difficulty. You're going to go through pain. You're going to go through heartbreak. You're going to go through frustration. And it'll be very easy to go, I'm done with this. I'd rather do things my own way like everybody else. It seems like it's working out for them. Listen, it may be difficult, but it's worth it. We have to keep moving forward regardless of the opposition we face. You will never receive all that God wants to give you if you give up before you get there. You will never receive everything that God has for you if you give up and surrender before you get there. We need to choose to follow Jesus regardless of the situations we face. The devil wants to use bad situations to cause us to give up. But God can use difficult situations to get us where he wants us to be so that we can receive all that he has for us. We're going to meet a character next week that God had planned for Ruth that was way better than what she had planned. But all of that was a result of her deciding to follow after God regardless of the situation she went through. She said, I'm following God. Your people are my people. Your God, my God. I'm going to do what's pleasing to you. I'm going to live as you want me to live. And wherever I end up, that's where I want to be. But God, you're going to take care of the details. No matter the difficulty, God, you're going to take care of the details. And they trusted in him. And God worked it out. So first, we got to know it won't always be easy. Second, others won't always follow. Others won't always follow. We're told that both Ruth and her sister-in-law, Orpah, which is a horrible name. It's like Oprah, and then also it makes me think of Orca, the killer whales. Anyways, she's not a pretty mental picture in my mind. Anyways, as soon as Naomi released them to go back, we're told that Orpah left, but Ruth kept going with Naomi. Listen, Orpah, she turned around. Naomi said, oh, it's good. You can go back. Just go back to your country. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. And Orpah's like, peace. And we're told that Ruth clung to her. That Ruth stayed with her. She was unwilling to leave. Listen, following in love and doing what God wants you to do is not what most people are doing. Can we be real for a second? Following God and doing things his way in our culture today is not what most people are doing. It is easy to date like the world. It is easy to treat people like the world does. It is easy to value yourself based upon the way the world values you. It's easy to value other people based upon the way the world values other people. It is much easier to follow things that other people are doing. It is much more difficult to do things as God wants us to do, because oftentimes what God wants us to do leads us to an isolated road. It's also easy to make decisions to do what is right when other people are making that decision too. But what do you do when you're the only one that's doing what God wants you to do? What if you make a decision? I want to follow God. I want to follow in love. I don't want to fall in love. I don't want to end up with the wrong person. I want to do what God wants me to do. And then you look around and you're the only one doing that. And you're like, oh man, I thought other people would want to live pleasing to God. I thought other people would want to live as God wants me to live. But now what, since I'm totally alone and I have no idea what I'm doing? How do you keep going if you're the only one that is staying pure? What if you're the only one that isn't treating the person you like the way the world treats the people they like? Sometimes you'll be alone in following God, but we have to choose him over what other people are doing. One of my all-time favorite lyrics in a worship song is, I have decided to follow Jesus, though none go with me, still I will follow. It is a decision we have to make, and then we have to continue to make that decision. And if you look up and you say, I am the only one making that decision, keep going. You're not alone. God is with you. He's got a plan for you. He's going to work it out. Don't do it just because everybody else is doing. This is how they date. This is how they treat each other. This is what the world says my relationship is supposed to be like. Just because everybody's doing it does not make it worth doing. It won't always be easy, and it won't always be what everyone is doing, but pleasing God is always worth it. Thirdly, you won't always feel it. You won't always feel it. The difference between Orpah and Ruth staying and going is that Ruth made a decision to go, not based upon feelings alone. We're told that both Ruth and Orpah felt the same way. Look again at verse 14. It says, then they both of them lifted up their voices again and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. They both wept. They both had the same feelings. Both of them were sad at the fact that they were now leaving each other. This was probably like the end of it. They're fully realizing all of our husbands are dead. There's no plans for what's next. We're not going to be together anymore. This is the end of a chapter. They're realizing it now. They all wept together, but one person went one direction and another person went a different direction. They felt something, But Ruth chose to do something. Listen, you won't always feel like doing what God wants you to do. We think that relationships are all about the feelings, but sometimes the feelings aren't there and you have to choose the right thing anyways. Other times the opposite will happen. You will feel like doing something you shouldn't do, and you have to choose to do what God wants you to do. The key is to make the decision before you have to make the decision. Listen, the time to say no to getting drunk is not at the party where people are drinking. That's not the time. The time to say no to weed is not when somebody's handing you the blunt. The time to decide to be pure is not when you're alone with the girl that you like at her house. That's not the time. You have to make the decision before the decision. You have to say, I'm not going to get drunk before you're ever at the party in a situation where that's available. You have to say, I'm not going to get high before there's an opportunity to get high. You have to decide, I'm not sleeping with her before you have the opportunity to do so. Because listen, you may not always feel it when you're in that situation. When you're around those people and you're doing that thing and this is what your feeling's telling you to do, it's going to be hard to do what God wants you to do. So the decision happens before the decision is made. The time to live right is not when you're in the moment to live wrong. The time to live right is right now and say, I'm not going to do what other people are doing right here, right now. And then when the opportunity comes, I've already made my decision. I don't have to make it then because I made it right now. You already know the answer. If you already know the answer, you don't have to worry about it. If you already know the question, you already know the answer, you don't have to worry about it when the question comes up. Right? Oh, I know the question. I know the answer. I'm not going to allow myself to get into this situation. I'm not going to allow myself to feel pressured and to feel this way into doing it because I made the decision now to do what God wants me to do. We so often, we don't make the decision in advance. And so when the opportunity comes up, we don't know what to do. We go on our feelings. We've got to decide now, the decision before the decision. It won't always be easy and you won't always feel it. Sometimes you'll feel like doing the opposite. But if you decide now, there's a story in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel was a guy that lived in Israel, and he was captured by the Babylonian Empire when they occupied Israel. He was carried off into slavery. He was forced into the king's palace to do these different things. And we're told that at the very beginning that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. In other words, he made a decision when he was alone that he was going to do what pleased God. And then opportunity came for him to do things that weren't pleasing God, but he already made the decision. He said, I'm not doing that. I already decided what I'm doing, and I already decided what I'm not doing. And so if you come at me with that, I'm not buying it because I already decided what I'm doing. Following is not always easy, and there will be difficulty that the enemy uses to get you to give up on what God has for you. But listen, when we say yes to God and to continue to follow him where he wants to take us, we will become the people God wants us to be. And when we are becoming who God wants us to be, we will be ready to meet the person God wants us to meet. God is far more concerned with you than the person you're concerned with. God wants to work something out in your own heart. God wants to make you the right person. You've heard that, right? I got to meet the right person. How about you become the right person? How about you become the right person for somebody else? How about you say, I'm going to live pleasing to God. And hopefully and prayerfully, there's somebody out there that's also making that same decision. And when the time is right, God will intersect those. You will be the right person. They'll be the right person. And God will make things work. Run in your lane. Stay in your lane. Focus on what God wants to do in you and let him work out those details. I've got one more thought, but I'm going to invite the worship team back up to help me out with that. Is that okay? You guys still with me? Is this helping anybody? All right. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you haven't made good decisions. Anybody can relate to that? That's me. You haven't made good decisions. You haven't been the person God wants you to be. Let me tell you, last thought, you can write this down. You can always return. We just talked about a lot of can'ts or a lot of won'ts. Won't always be easy. Others won't always do it. You won't always feel it, but you can always return. Naomi, who's Ruth's mother-in-law, she left God's promised land and ended up in Moab, and there she lost everything. Think about that. I'm sure the weight of the decision to leave Israel was really weighing upon her. Maybe if I would have just stayed in Israel, God would have provided food. And maybe my husband wouldn't be dead. And maybe my two sons wouldn't be dead. And maybe I wouldn't be here feeling alone and desperate and not knowing what to do with these other people. We're told at the end of the chapter that she changed her name to Naomi, which means pleasure. Tomorrow, which means bitterness. She said, because God's glory has departed from me. I'm so far away from God. I'm so broken. I'm so empty. I've made all these bad decisions, and now I'm stuck. I'm stuck in this. But do you know what Naomi decided? She decided to go back to Israel, which to me, she was from Bethlehem, and she goes back to Bethlehem, which we know Bethlehem's a small city. I kind of imagine that was tough for Naomi, who went out with everything. She had her husband. She had her two sons. They were going to figure this thing out. They were leaving the promise. They didn't need the promised land. They were going to work it out for themselves. She goes out. And could you imagine the way she came back in? I lost everything. Husband's gone. My kids are gone. There's one sister-in-law that stuck with me. The other one left. I got to imagine that she was pretty defeated, and yet she went back. And when she went back, God provided. We're going to see in the next couple weeks that God provides in abundance, way more than they ever thought he ever would. But I got to imagine that it was difficult for her to go back, but she went back. And listen, I want to tell you, you can always go back. Now, you can't go back and change the things we've done. The things that have done, what we've done, where we fail, it happened. But we can move past it. I've heard somebody say, you can move past your past. You can. You say, I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to live in my failure. I'm going to step into what God has for me. I don't have to be defined by the way I messed up. This bad relationship I had before doesn't have to define me. I've been the wrong person, but now I'm going to be the right person. Listen, you can always go back to what God has for you. His promises, his blessing, his plans will always be there for you as long as you step back onto him. We get sidetracked. We're running. We're doing our thing, and then we get sidetracked. We can always come back. God's lane, God's plan, God, what he has for us is always there. We just got to walk back to it. You can always go back. Listen, it's never too late to decide to start living to please God. Choose today to start living your life pleasing to God and allow him to direct you where you're supposed to be. When we are following in love and not falling in love, we are becoming the right person and we're not looking for the right person. God will bless our relationships. You can always come back. You can always go live, stand in the blessings, in the promises of God. It's not too late. Listen, God cares about your relationships. God has a plan for these things in your life. Sometimes we mess up. You can always go back. But know that God cares about you. I think we think that God only cares about big things. Like God's concerned with huge things like famine and apocalypse and like all this other stuff. You know, God, this book, this story wouldn't have been in here if God didn't care about the person that you had a crush on. You know that? God cares about that. But he also has a plan for that. And he wants to make sure that you have the best relationship you possibly can have. And so he designed boundaries and principles and things. He put systems into place to help us so that we can have the best relationships we can have and not fail and be filled with regret and be miserable and stuck and all of these things. God wants us to live as he wants us to live so we can fully step into the person and the plans that he has for us.
You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio. Before we go, here's Nate with his wife, Hannah, on how we can put this into practice.
We're here today with Pastor Jim and Christy Gallagher of Calvary Chapel, Vero Beach, and we're kind of continuing this conversation about relationships that we began in this series on the life of Ruth. And talking about today in today's message that it gets difficult as we follow God into what He wants for us, but we'll never receive all that God wants to give us if we give up before we get there. And so we're talking about this idea of relationships and difficulty when it comes to waiting on the Lord in relationships. You guys have thoughts on this idea?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's a just a basic principle. When we hit a difficulty, there's a temptation for us at that point to take what seems to be the easy way out. Mm. And but it's often that difficulty that's the very thing that God is using to develop us into the person that He wants us to be.
Right.
And so, you know, in some ways, if we look at the biblical characters, they are the sum of all the difficulties that they experienced. Mm. And that's what created their character. That's what, you know, Daniel is the Daniel that he is because of the opposition that he faced and the ways that he chose to honor God in the midst of those. And so I think with relationship, it's the same way. We hit a difficulty, and often in a relationship, the difficulty is a temptation to misbehave.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we choose to do what's honoring to the Lord, which may be more difficult at the time,
right,
over giving into that temptation, which is the easy way, we develop character. Now, fast forward.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fast forward. Let's say that relationship is sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fast forward 10 years. What is the benefit in our life 10 years from now,
mm-hmm,
of developing the character that God wants as opposed to giving in and doing the wrong thing?
Right.
So
I know you guys had a share of difficulty early on in your ministry together when you left friends and family in Southern California to plant a church across the country in Vero Beach, Florida, being alone. It's just you two, four kids, and Jesus. So how, for you guys, were you able to wait on the Lord through that difficulty, trust Him, and continue to do what you knew God had called you to do?
Well, I know that, yes, it was difficult, but it caused us to seek the Lord,
right,
and go deeper with Him. And I remember once having a pity party and saying to God, I gave up everything for you. And God spoke so sweetly, and He said, no, everything you have, I've given to you.
Wow.
And I gave up everything so that you can have this life that I've given.
Amazing.
And it really caused me to praise the Lord, mm-hmm, and to get my eyes off of my circumstances and onto Him.
Wow.
Right. I think of another time when you had a similar, you know, thing with the Lord, and you're going, Lord, why did you bring us here? You know, why did you take us across the world to do this thing? And I remember you telling me that you felt like the Lord said, because you were willing.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, that goes a long way, whether it's ministry and starting a church, or whether it's the relationship or family, or that we're just willing to do what God wants us to do. And that willingness is always blessed by the Lord.
Now, on the thought and the subject of difficulty, we were just talking before we started recording about how you guys will be married for 28 years next week. So there's no doubt that you guys have seen your fair share of difficulties in that time. So my question for you guys is just if there's any practical tips you could share with the listeners for sustaining a godly relationship in the middle of difficulty.
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, couple of things. Number one is that some of the difficulties are things that happen to you, and you know, the washing machine breaks, the you know, just the kind of stuff that is life, and that, you know, you're together in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe the more difficult difficulty,
mm-hmm,
is the one when you're having issues,
yeah,
where you're not seeing things eye to eye. You're looking at things from different perspective. You may have a strong opinion, and there's friction that's created. And you know that we tease that kind of Christy has a theme verse for our marriage, and that
I die daily.
And you know, while there's you know, a sort of a tongue in cheek side to that, there's also the reality that that's the heart of Christianity,
mm-hmm,
and that the idea of Christianity is that I'm laying down my life for another. And Jesus said the greatest expression of love is to lay my life down.
Yeah.
And so I think in our relationship, when we have those times, it's how do we practically lay our life down so that we can then address the issue and we can move forward. The difficulty is not a reason to end the relationship. It's a reason to work through it in the relationship.
And I remember reading in a book that marriage isn't to bring us happiness, but to bring us holiness. Wow. And the Lord uses marriage and that relationship in order to cut away those things that don't belong in our life. He is so faithful to do that. It should cause us to look in and say, Lord, what needs to change in my life?
And we sing glory, glory in the highest.
Thanks again for tuning in to Middle Ground Radio. We pray that this message has blessed you and your relationship with Christ. And if you'd like more information about all that's going on here, check us out online at middlegroundradio.com or follow Pastor Nate on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. Have a blessed week and join us next time here on Middle Ground Radio.